Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to our show. This is Daniel Rasby and Raz. So Daniel and Raz at Higher Ground Financial Group.
We're father-son team, and Daniel is a tax attorney, and I'm the old guy.
And our website is riskfeestaxes.com. So again, that's riskfeestaxes.com. The reason we chose that title is because those are the three biggest killers in retirement: risk, fees, and taxes. And we'll talk about a lot of taxes today, especially capital gains taxes. Capital gains are going to affect things that are not IRAs. So basically anything that's not an IRA is potentially affected by capital gains. And that is most often you're going to see with individual stocks you own or non-qualified brokerage accounts or real estate. And so particularly with real estate, how do capital gains affect you? And first of all, should we be concerned because the politicians keep talking about taxing unrealized gains? Do you think that's really a risk?
So first of all, that's defined. What is unrealized capital gains? Unrealized capital gains is meaning that your value of your asset has gone up, but you have not realized it, meaning you have not sold it and you're not spending it. And they still want to tax that every year.
And in this country, you can only tax income that you've actually received, not income that you could receive someday if you choose to.
Because that asset could go down in value and you pay tax on the higher amount. And so it's really, tax is already a theft. This is a theft to a higher degree. So
and it's not very likely, in my opinion, as an attorney, it does not appear likely that it would be legal to tax unrealized gains without a new constitutional amendment, because the Constitution currently allows collection of income tax, but only on income that you've actually earned. If you haven't earned it, then you may not be able to be taxed on it. So I also, it's not very politically expedient, I think, for it to actually pass. I think it's more of an election talking point. Every year you hear some variation on it, but I think in the short term, at least, we don't have to worry too much about taxing on unrealized gains. But when you do realize the gains, you do pay tax. And right. So we'll talk about some ways to minimize those in this episode.
So the first thing is, if you don't realize it, meaning you don't sell it during your lifetime and you pass away, then your children or beneficiary will get a step up in basis. So they don't pay capital gains on anything that at that point. So let's say you bought a house for $100,000, now it's worth $500,000, and you die. Well, your children get that $500,000 house. They don't have any capital gains, but let's say they don't sell it. They keep it for another 5 years, and now it's $600,000. Well, now they have $100,000 of capital gains because they have a step up in basis. Their new cost basis is $500,000 when they inherited it. So some people, what they do is, well, you know, we're going to give this house to my son, and I'm just going to put his name on the title now. Why is that a problem, Daniel?
Well, if you put your kid's name on the title now, it causes a couple problems. Number one is a massive tax problem, because now when you die, he may not get a stepped up basis, depending on the type of deed you have with him. But in most cases, he's not going to get a stepped up basis. So now if he goes to sell that property, he's going to pay tax on all the value above what you originally bought it for 30 or 40 years ago. So it's not a good idea to put your kid's name on the title now. The other reason would be if they actually are an owner of the property, then it's accessible to their creditors or to lawsuits.
Or to in-laws.
Or to in-laws, potentially in a divorce or something that it could be accessed. So any asset they have is now accessible if their name is on the title. And you know, hopefully it doesn't ever come to that. But if you ever have a disagreement with your kids about what to do with the house while you're still living in it, if their name's on the title, then they have control over that as well.
And there's more risks involved. I mean, right now, if you get into a major car accident, you may be sued and they might be exposed. But now you have kids on it, they get in car accidents, they could be exposed and this house could be exposed. So there's minimizing the risk, but also the taxes. I mean, if you give it to the kids now, they don't get any of the step-up basis. So if you just transfer that capital gains tax to them and they got none of the benefits of tax deduction or depreciation or any of that.
And that is why we strongly recommend, if you have property that you want to leave to somebody, make sure you have it in a trust. So the trust can provide some protections for privacy. It can provide a lot more control. It can even give your kids some say in the property if you want them to have that kind of say while you're alive. Many people do. But it still allows for a stepped up basis in the future. Only if the trust is revocable. If it's irrevocable, which some people do, I mean, for personal asset trusts or trusts that are meant for estate planning, estate tax purposes, it's important to remember that if you're trying to avoid estate taxes, you can either avoid estate tax or capital gains, not both. So if you put it in an irrevocable trust, then they may have a basis issue as well and may owe some capital gains when you die. But as long as it's a normal living revocable trust, that means a trust you can make changes to later, then you still are the official owner according to the IRS, and that way your kids will receive it with no taxes when you pass away. But
Daniel, what you're saying is, so if I put $1 million property in an irrevocable trust to get it out of my estate, and the beneficiary is my son, he's not going to get that step up in basis then?
Correct.
So that's a problem.
But he saves 40% in estate taxes in order to pay 20% in capital gains, so he still saves half the taxes.
Or 32% between federal, state, and local.
But it's still a savings in any case. So it often does make sense if you have assets that are above the estate tax exclusion, or will be above the exclusion. And right now the exclusion is very high, 13, 14 million or so, but it is going to drop in 2026. And, you know, we'll have to see what changes in the future. But if you have assets that are over a certain amount, you should definitely talk to an attorney that not only specializes in estate planning, but specifically tax planning and how to minimize taxes both now and in the future. And that's what I do as a tax attorney.
I've heard of some of these different trusts. And we got spousal lifetime access trust, where you can, you know, take it out of your estate, but your spouse still has access to it. And right. There's intentionally defective trust. I mean, what kind of crazy?
Intentionally defective allows a swapping power. So that means you can switch the asset that's in the trust with something else later when you build something else up. And that's used a lot for life insurance policies. So there's a number of different types of trusts. And again, go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, and we can talk about that. But what about property that you do want to sell during your lifetime? So you have a rental property. It's been not doing so well. You want to reinvest in some other place to make some more money. First of all, how do you know if your property is not doing well? You know, if you're making enough money to pay the mortgage every month and then you're good, is that a good investment?
Not really. I mean, you're just counting on appreciation, but you know, there's no cash flow. And
so we ran across a client recently. He had a $500,000 property. I said, okay, great. How much do you owe on this $500,000 property? Oh, I owe $200,000. Okay, great. So you have $300,000 of equity. Yes. All right. And how much are you getting after you pay the mortgage and
cleaning costs, taxes,
so all that? How much are you getting? Well, I'm getting about $500 a month after all those things. Okay, so that's $6,000 a year. All right, you're making money. That's good, right? No, not so much. So $6,000 out of $300,000 of equity is a 2% rate of return. So really what you're making is 2% on $300,000. And his mouth dropped. He's like, wow, this is really a bad investment. Why am I breaking my back, you know, doing all this maintenance, dealing with the tenants that are not easy to deal with, all for a measly little 2% when I can go to the bank and make more than 2% of my money?
It's all built on hope. The hope of appreciation. Someday you might have more money, which you're going to end up paying a lot of capital gains tax on. So, you know.
And so you may. I mean, it's not entirely true to say the only thing you're getting is the cash flow. But in rental for rental properties, the most important thing is and should be cash flow, especially if you're planning on retirement. So let's say you are this guy and you have now realized you're only making 2% on your rental property and you figure, let me move it, let me replace it. Maybe I can do one of these Airbnbs in a beach town somewhere and make a lot more.
Even before you go there, let's say I just want to sell it, take my $300,000, put it in a CD, get 5%. It's better than 2% and all the work I got to do. Well, if you sell it, you're going to have capital gains tax.
And you might have bought it for only a couple $100,000. And now it's worth $500,000. So you owe tax on all of that money.
Or even if you bought it for $480,000, but you've depreciated it down to $400,000 or $350,000 over the last several years because it hasn't appreciated as much as you want. Well, that tax has now come due.
So one solution is you could move to the property and live in it for the next 2 years. And then you could get a exclusion, $250,000 per person. If you're married, so that's $500,000 of growth. There's no capital gains. But most people don't have that as a solution because you don't want to go live in your rental property necessarily. And also you're not making income at all for the next couple of years on that. So what are the other things you can do? You can sell it outright, pay all the tax, or you can do what's called a 1031 exchange And a 1031 exchange is when you buy another property within a very short period of time. And there's a lot of rules to be involved. You have to identify the property within just a couple months. You have to actually close on the new property within just a few months, about 6 months in most cases. And once you do that, then you're free and clear. You don't owe any capital gains, no matter.
Not true.
Well, you still owe them. You just haven't paid them yet, right? And because you have all that deferred capital gain, you may not be able to depreciate the new property as much. So your depreciation cost may be less, your income may be more taxed on the new property.
So it doesn't really solve the problem. And there's something called a deferred capital gains tax trust or something like that.
Yeah, DST. Mm-hmm. You can defer the tax and basically spread it out over a number of years.
The reason you may want to do that is because if you do it all at one time, you'd be in the highest tax bracket and you have higher federal, state, and local taxes. Instead of if you spread it out over a period of time based on your income, it may be zero tax on some of it. And it may only be a 15% tax instead of 32% tax.
So I want to touch briefly, and we might revisit it later, but I want to touch briefly on one other strategy that is kind of like a magic bullet to deal with this capital gains. So imagine you could take your property. If you sell it, you're going to pay all these massive capital gains. If you exchange it, you still might have some capital gains later, and you certainly still have the headache of owning the property and all that, and you may or may not make more income. So what if you instead set up a special type of trust called a CRUT, a charitable remainder unit trust? You donate the property to the trust. The trust sells the property with no capital gains at all. Not only that, but you get a massive tax deduction for giving your property to the trust.
Depending on age, the older you are, the bigger the tax deduction.
So if you're 60, 65 years old, let's say, then 40% or maybe even 50% of the value of the property is your tax deduction. So you put $500,000 property in there, it's a $250,000 tax deduction or $220,000 tax deduction. And you can take that over to your IRA, make it Roth, you can do whatever you want with it. Not only that, but the trust is a charitable remainder trust. That means the remainder goes to charity when you die, but while you're alive, you get income. It's a pension. And the pension is going to pay you 5 or 6%, not the measly little 2% you were making in your rental property. So now you're getting 5 or 6% every year.
With no headaches.
Out of that trust, which out of $500,000, that's $25,000 to $30,000 you're getting every year, guaranteed. You also guarantee you're never going to pay the capital gains tax. It's deferred indefinitely. You end up leaving $500,000 or so to charity with this, even though you're taking a $30,000 income for the rest of your life on this pension. So if you want to learn more about the CRUT, the Charitable Remainder Unit Trust, talk to us. Go to riskfeestaxes.com and talk to us. See if it's the right strategy for you. We'll be a fiduciary and we'll tell you specifically what's in your best interest. riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.